Blog Talk Radio.
And friends, we're coming to you live from our six satellite studios with our 68th broadcast. Once again, we are coming to you from all over the place. Let's see, Jacksonville, Florida, Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, The Villages, Florida, Delray Beach, Florida, Grand Junction, Colorado, and Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Margaret Bards, Howard Mucci, Neil Holland, Jan Bushkai, Bill Joseph, Steve Thompson, Chuck Albright, and me, Jim Hart. The last three episodes you heard how the actual certification of a new Eastern Airlines might play out. We found the investment money, we assembled a startup team, made the application, put all of the paperwork into place. We performed the demonstration flights, received the DOT and FAA approval to operate a scheduled FAR Part 121 air carrier, and we held a victory celebration at the Doral Country Club in Miami at their beautiful banquet hall with all the employees. And all of this accomplished in a record-breaking time of just 6 months. This week's episode number 68, we go along with the crew and the passengers on the inaugural flight from Miami to San Juan. We hope you will listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3, which are now archived on the radio show's website and at www.blogtalkradio.com/CaptEddie, CaptEddie. If you have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers once again are 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone if you wish to connect live with our show. Our sponsor for this show is Eastern Airlines. Let's enjoy this award-winning advertisement.
Beaches far nicer than these. Who your face the envy of Marseille? Art they marvel at in Paris. Fashion they seek in Milan. Theater like London. Opera like La Scala. Emeralds by the bushels. Jungles that are wild. And nightlife even wilder. Eastern through the wonders of Latin America. With more sights from here to more cities there. And our famous El Interamericano service. Eastern, your airline to all the Americas.
The inaugural flight of Eastern Flight 1 is at the gate in the North Terminal at the Miami International Airport. The flight will be operating from gate D14. The crew chosen for this first flight is Captain Neil Holland, President and CEO of the new Eastern, and Captain Steve Thompson, Vice President and Director of Flight Operations, who will carry out the first officer's duties. In the jump seat is Chuck Albright, Vice President and Director of Maintenance and Engineering. Our cabin crew chosen are Margaret Bars, Vice President In-Flight Operations, Jan Bushkai, Supervisor of Flight Attendants, Luann Wiggins, Senior Flight Attendant, Eric Otero, Barbara Jones, Sydney Shannon, Pat Chase, Ellen Riley, and Janie Roundtree. Chuck Albright, Vice President Engineering and Maintenance, is in the cockpit studying the maintenance logbooks with the flight crew. Let's join them.
Guys, I believe this aircraft is cleaner than the day it was assembled, and with no write-ups by the previous crew, because there hasn't been a previous crew to write up anything. That is why I will be going along with you today. Plus, I want to make sure our maintenance is all set up in San Juan.
Captain Neal, looks like we've got a full load. Many, of course, are dignitaries from Miami. We've got the mayor and San Juan's mayor. Mr. Mucci and his wife will also be on board. He's flying in from Ponte Vedra in his G5 and will be escorted over in our crew bus.
Chuck, see if Jim Hart has boarded, and if so, ask him to come up to the flight deck.
Sure thing, Captain. Do you guys want me to bring back anything to drink?
Sure, Chuck. I'll have a can of soda water and a glass of ice. Soda on the rocks.
Passengers boarding the new Eastern Airlines Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner are in a festive mood, waiting to be boarded in the North Terminal, Gate D14. Caribbean music is being played by the famous Edmundo Ross Orchestra. Mr. Mucci and his wife have arrived in the boarding area and are going over today's inaugural flight with Vice President of In-Flight Services, Margaret Bars.
Nice that you're able to join us on this historical flight of the new Eastern Airlines. You cannot imagine how people are responding to having the airline back home and operational.
And I hope people will again remember Eastern as the great airline it once was. I also hope to see a lot of you as well as the rest of the management team for many years to come.
Then why don't we board now before the rest of our sold-out flight passengers begin to board?
Oh, I see we have a few celebrities and dignitaries going along with us today. Was that Tony Bennett I saw in the boarding area?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Mucci. So nice to see you both again. And yes, Mr. Bennett will be coming along with us. He'll probably be sitting close to you. I was just going up to the flight deck as I think I was requested to come up by the captain. I hope nothing's wrong and we'll depart on time. It's very important that this first flight of the new history of Eastern is about to be written, and it should be on time.
Jim, don't let me detain you. Perhaps you better get up to the flight deck and see what they want. Oh, by the way, who is the captain for the flight tonight?
Well, as you would expect, our two company executives will be flying Eastern Flight 1 today. Your CEO and Vice President of Flight Operations, they both qualify by checking out in the aircraft for this flight, and we have the FAA going along with us just to make sure that they do it according to the rules. I'll see you both a little bit later before our departure.
Come this way. We've got you sitting up front in first class.
The new Boeing has been christened by Boeing with the Dreamliner name, just as we once did with our new L-1011 when we first got them from Lockheed, Whisperliner, and before that, the B-727 Whisperjet. This is a wide-bodied aircraft seating 250 people in the configuration we chose. The Eastern 787-8 has a range of over 10,000 miles. Passenger comments have been positive on comfort and visibility. For instance, the new Dreamliner's windows are the largest of any air transport aircraft today. One passenger remarked about her favorite features, the windows. You really notice it, and it makes the plane feel so bright and like you're not shut in, she added. In addition to the well-received larger size, the windows on the 787 do not have manual shades. Instead, they are darkened by a button control that can be electronically dim the light partially or entirely.
Mr. and Mrs. Mucci, before you get comfortable in the Boeing's new design cloud-like seats, let me show you around the cabin interior. We still have some time before we begin boarding. Hey, Margaret, this is Luann. I see you have two very important people with you. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Mucci, do you remember me? I'm Luann Wiggins, Margaret's right-hand gopher.
Hello, Luann. Of course I remember you. I particularly remember the story you told about the Air Kentucky days at our celebration in Miami a few weeks ago. Margaret was just about to give us a tour of the interior. Would you care to join us?
Why, sure. And you remember Jan Boskai, another in-flight supervisor? Hey, Jan, we're about to give Mr. and Mrs. Mucci a cook's tour of our fabulous work environment.
Of course. Who could ever forget the wonderful gift the Mucci's have given the new employees? Being able to put the wings of man back into the air and in such a grand style with the newest aircraft in the sky.
If you'll notice the overhead storage bins, Boeing says they were designed to accommodate the wheeled roller bags that have become ubiquitous. They're about 30% bigger than on Boeing 777 aircraft and can easily accommodate even large roller bags, though irregularly sized luggage could mean a less than optimal fit. And in addition to making it easier to fit their bags into the bins, Boeing thinks it'll help more flights take off on time, because in theory, passengers won't need to hoist their bags into the overhead bins and nearly break my back trying to help them.
You will also love the cabin environment. Thanks to the new technology on the Dreamliner, flights are pressured to the equivalent of 6,000 feet in elevation, lower than the 8,000-foot mark that's typical for commercial passenger aircraft. Boeing says that, coupled with the higher humidity levels possible on the 787, it should alleviate headaches, fatigue, and reduce the general wear and tear travelers often feel from flying.
You'll also notice the protected lap space. Eastern Shell-style economy class seats have double-wide armrests, and they recline by sliding forward, not by hinging backward, meaning you never impinge on the legroom of the person behind you, even in the full recline position. Notice, too, the vaulted ceilings between the luggage bins and the over-gallery areas. This helps play off the larger windows to make the cabin feel more spacious. Well, the Dreamliner's also gadget-friendly, as I call it. Eastern's configuration offers USB ports and electric outlets at every seat, allowing customers to charge a cell phone or access music or movie files via the in-flight entertainment console. Now, power outlets mean laptops now can stay charged for the entire flight. Heck, fire, I can remember the days when there was only one gadget in an armrest. It's called an ashtray. And now that's gone, thank goodness.
I'm sure you will find the cabin quieter. Boeing has said cabin noise on the Dreamliner is lower than on other jets that typically fly on long-haul routes. See if you notice the difference when you and Mrs. Mucci carry on a conversation.
You mean I won't have to turn down my hearing aid when she starts talking? Now, don't frown at me like that, Lou. That was only meant to be a joke.
You might both want to see the cockpit, or as the pilots call it, the dream deck.
The Mucci's now head for the cockpit, or dream deck, to be met by Captains Holland and Thompson.
My goodness, this is like the Enterprise. The only thing missing is Captain Kirk. Wow, this is absolutely a dream deck. Captain Neil, good to see you. I thought you might find a way to fly this inaugural flight. And, Steve, a pleasure to see you as well.
Howard, we're so glad you allowed us to purchase two of these aircraft, and we have an option for eight more. We'll need them when we begin our long-haul destinations.
Mr. Mucci, it's so nice to see you again. And Boeing was expecting people to be pretty excited about this 787 flight deck. They had worked with so many pilots and industry experts during the design effort, they knew that they would be creating something special. Still, it was a little surprising, and it was so overwhelming and dramatic, as you can see. The 787 comes standard with dual heads-up displays and dual electronic flight bags, features that are traditionally have been optional. A head-up display is a clear screen mounted at eye level. It displays flight information so the pilots can look outside the cockpit and still view the information they need. Meanwhile, the electronic flight bag, or EFB as we call it, is a digital equivalent of a pilot's flight bag. It contains up-to-date information, including maps, charts, manuals, and other data. In addition, the electronic flight bag allows takeoff performance calculations to be made in real time. And you can't see them now because they're not viewable until we're operational. The EFBs also offer ground navigation systems that help flight crews negotiate unfamiliar airports, reducing pilot error during taxi, and it will help cut the risk of runway collisions. Notice how clean this overhead and side panels are in the cockpit are. It's really a modern-day office environment. Even the once-busy overhead panel now resides in its own desktop, or should I say, ceiling module. To achieve operational commonality with the Boeing 777, the 787 Dreamliner team had to make sure the new airplane felt like a 777. Commonality is the similarity between airplanes, which helps operators by reducing variability, simplifying operations, and improving airplane reliability, which ultimately decreases costs and increases revenues. In the flight deck, commonality is created simply by where displays, switches, and controls are located. One of the most notable decisions was to retain the traditional wheel and column mechanism. Although Boeing studied other control mechanisms, including the side stick, they found that the wheel and column arrangement provides the feedback and awareness pilots need to make and execute decisions during critical periods. And I might add that the 787, the wheel and controllers and column controllers are cross-linked between pilots to avoid confusion, have large ranges of motion for improved peripheral cueing, are back-driven to give pilots better visual and tactile understanding of what either the autoflight system or the other pilot is doing. In addition, the requirement to enable mixed fleet flying, where one pool of pilots can be created to fly more than one kind of airplane, further strengthened the need to stay with the wheel and column arrangement. Boeing continues to believe the wheel and column provides the best solution to enhance the safety of flight.
You know, pilots have asked for this type of flight deck innovation for years, and thanks to Boeing, we now have it in the Dreamliner. Boeing has a long history of working with pilots to develop flight decks that meet their needs. In fact, when Boeing received the prestigious Collier Trophy for its design of the 777, members of the ALPA Airline Pilots Association stood alongside the design team leaders to be recognized for their role. Boeing did an unprecedented amount of listening, discussing, and sharing to develop this flight deck. Howard, you'll have to come down to our training facility and fly this beautiful aircraft in the simulator. I guarantee it's as real as our flight will be today.
Hello, Mr. Mucci. I see you're getting acquainted with the most beautiful bird in the sky, especially since you will be flying with a beautifully designed Eastern logo on its side. Thank you again, sir, for allowing us to bring back to the public and by popular demand the world's greatest airline. Let me give you a brief on the engineering and technology of the Dreamliner. Let's start with the engines. As you know, Mr. Mucci, Eastern had a lot of experience with Rolls-Royce engines, the L-1011, Boeing 757. Some good, some bad, but mostly good. We decided that it would be best for this aircraft, favoring it over the GE engines. It's called the Trent 1000, and has 53,000 pounds of thrust for each of its two engines. It has a 14-stage compressor, an 8-stage turbine, and the fan stage has 20 blades with 112 inches of diameter. The advantage of this fan design is low fan speed, life of engine blades, elliptical leading edge blades, low hub tip ratio, and it all results in low maintenance burden, low noise, improved efficiency, and improved foreign object damage protection. The 787 engine start APU functions are performed extensions of the method that has been successfully used for APUs in the next generation 737 airplane family. In this method, the generators are run as synchronous starting motors, with the starting processes being controlled by start converters. The start converters provide conditional electrical power. It's adjustable voltage and adjustable frequency to the generators during the start for optimum start performance. Unlike the air turbine engine starters and the traditional architectural that are not used while the respective engines are not running, the start converters will be used after the respective engine is started. The engine and APU start converters will function as motor controllers for the cabin pressurization compressor motors. Normally, both generators on the APU and both generators on the engine are used for optimum start performance. However, in the case of a generator failure, the remaining generator may be used for engine starting, but at a slower pace. For APU starting, only one generator is required. The power source for APU starting may be the airplane battery, a ground power source, or an engine-driven generator. The power source for engine starting may be APU generators, engine-driven generators on the opposite side engine, or two forward 115-volt ground power sources. The aft external power receptacles may be used for a faster start, if desired. In the 787 electrical architecture, the output of the cabin pressurization compressor flows through a low-pressure air conditioning pack for improved efficiency. The adjustable speed feature of electrical motors will allow further optimization of airplane energy usage by not requiring excessive energy from the supplied compressor air and later regulating down through modulation valves, resulting in energy loss. Avoiding energy waste associated with down regulations results in improvements in the engine fuel consumption. The environmentally controlled system and airflow can be adjusted in accordance with the number of airplane occupants to achieve the lowest energy waste while meeting the airflow requirement. I could go on and on about the engines. There just isn't enough time before departure. As I see, we're getting close to boarding time.
Please. Maybe you guys will let an old-timer like me take a lesson in that simulator, as you suggested, the next time I'm in Miami. The 787 Dreamliner is a strategic aircraft and will play a key part in Eastern's expansion plans. I am as excited as any 91-year-old kid can be, and I want to thank each and every one of you for this extensive tour.
While the Mucci's take their seats, why don't we pause for this Eastern commercial?
Take a second now, look up in the sky, can't you see the blue there? That's an Eastern plane flying through the sky, shouldn't that be you there?
You gotta believe, it's for you. You gotta believe, things come true. You gotta believe and look it up now.
again, our most honored guest, Mr. Minchie. I see that you've been briefed by the flight cabin crew and engineering. We're very proud of this aircraft, as it truly represents the new Eastern. Many people never expected it would ever fly again, but thanks to you, we are doing it right here today.
Well, let's bring on the passengers. Let's get this show on the road, or should I say on the wing. It's time to start making a little return on my investment.
Certainly, sir. Let me show you how to your seat. You'll actually be able to stretch out fully and sleep if you like. Business class on long-haul international flights has staggered seating, with all the seats having aisle access and reclining fully into a flat bed.
Are you kidding? Do you expect me to take a nap and miss all the excitement of this inaugural flight?
I'm sure when you boarded the aircraft, you could not help but marvel at how spacious it was from the inside. You distinctly feel the cabin to be much larger. It seems Boeing spent a fair bit of time playing around with the concept of free space and has produced a mouth-watering product. The overhead space seems remarkably more free than in similar wide-body planes and should help the uneasiness brought on by being in a confined space for quite some time. Now let me show you how to manage the most vaulted feature on the airplane. The shade-less electrochromic windows that automatically adjust the amount of light and at a number of different levels, entering the cabin with a push of a button. What's interesting is that flight attendants can also control the amount of light entering the cabin through all of the windows with a single push of a button at their end. This can prove exceedingly useful in situations, for instance, when the shades need to be drawn up. Even though you can't see the full effects of the outside beauty, I can tell you that our advertising firm, Young & Rubicam, really came up with the old mixed with the new. The logo brand across the sleek new body of the 787 Dreamliner. You definitely know that Eastern is back and raring to go. I'm going to be in the cabin helping Margaret as she and her crew welcomes the passengers as they are boarded. We have something special to give them as a remembrance of this flight. Enjoy the flight, Mr. and Mrs. Minchie. I know you will enjoy the cuisine once we are in the air.
The aircraft is fully boarded, and the captain has been given the clearance to start the two Rolls-Royce Trent 1000 engines. They have received their clearance to San Juan, entered the clearance into their electronic navigational computers, and watch it appear on their flight management screens. Margaret has done the cabin briefing and gives the signal to the flight crew.
Steve, how about welcoming our guests on this inaugural flight while we taxi out?
Sure, Captain. Ladies and gentlemen, and all our honored guests on today's inaugural flight, Captain Holland and his co-pilot, me, Steve Thompson, would like to welcome you on board. We're excited that you chose Eastern today for your flight to San Juan. We're especially delighted to have the mayors of Miami and San Juan with us. You might also like to know that the person that took the investment risk of putting the new Eastern in the air again is with us today as well. Say hello to Mr. and Mrs. Minchie when you get a chance. We might also persuade one of our celebrities, Mr. Tony Bennett, to entertain us while en route. Now, as for the trip today, first, you've been briefed on this new aircraft by Margaret Bars, our senior flight attendant today. And by the way, she is the Vice President and Director of In-Flight Service and Catering. Any complaints, please register them with her. However, I feel confident she and her cabin crew will do everything to make your trip a most pleasant experience. We'll be flying at an altitude of 41,000 feet today. And to start Eastern off on its first flight, we've ordered a perfect day for you, as you can see outside of your window, designed by Boeing, of course. We'll be climbing straight out and pass over the islands of the Caribbean, and we'll be coming back on the PA to let you know the names of the ones that we're passing over. As we near San Juan, we'll give you an update of our arrival time and the weather and the weather there also. Now, the mayor of San Juan tells us he issued an executive order assuring us that we'll have a perfect day awaiting us on landing. Now, sit back and relax in what has been described as the most comfortable seats in the sky. Thanks for your attention.
Steve, go ahead and read the before start engine checklist.
Okay, before startup checklist, seatbelt sign?
It's on.
And the fuel quantity?
Checked.
Engine throttle?
Yes, idle.
Engine area?
It's clear.
Auto brake setting?
RTO.
Yaw damper?
On.
Fly-by-wire setting?
Checked.
Hydraulic engine pumps?
They're on.
And the hydraulic electric C1 pump?
On.
AC packs 1 and 2?
They're both on.
Equipment cooling?
On.
Fuel pumps?
On.
And startup clearance request?
Okay, go ahead and let's request startup. Okay, we've got that. Let's go ahead and start the engine. Steve, give me the engine startup checklist.
Okay, engine startup checklist, APU master knob, start.
It's on.
And the APU generator?
On.
Engine EEC modes?
They're on.
Engine starter knob?
Start.
Engine fuel controls?
Engine fuel controls there to run.
Engine generators L1 and R1.
Yeah, L1, they're both on.
Okay, APU master knob?
Off.
APU generator?
Off.
And external power?
It's off. And looks like we're getting rotation now, and the engines are starting up. Looks like they're starting up very smoothly. Not much engine noise in the cabin. Looks like both of them are running now. Let's do the before taxi checklist and taxi checklist, Steve.
Okay, before taxi checklist, parking brakes.
It's set.
And the fuel quantity?
I've rechecked. We've got our fuel.
Okay. Taxi lights?
On.
Navigation lights?
On.
Instrument displays?
Checked.
And taxi clearance, are you ready to request
yeah,
it?
Yeah, go ahead and request it.
Okay. All right, the taxi checklist. Flight directors?
It's on.
Parking brakes?
They're off.
Okay, and Neil, there's a note here that says, do not exceed 25 knots while taxiing, and you recommended to have the airport diagram installed and opened up in the electronic flight bag, or zoom in the full navigation, the screen navigation display all the way to help you navigate around the airport. And if you're planning to use a SID for departure, make sure that you have it installed in your EFB database and load up your airport charts page for reference.
Boy, it takes all the fun out of guessing where the taxiways are, especially up in the Chicago and New York area. Boy, this makes it simple, Steve. Thanks for the briefing, and I've got it all set up now.
Captain, we've finished our cabin briefing, and we're ready when you are, sir.
Thanks, Margaret. We're number one to go. Steve, tell the tower we're ready. Let's read the pre-takeoff and takeoff checklist.
Roger that, Captain. Pre-takeoff checklist. Takeoff flaps?
It's set.
Speed brakes?
Retracted.
Instruments?
Checked.
Landing lights?
On.
Strobe lights?
It's on.
Parking brakes?
They're off.
Okay, and once we've centered on the runway, I'll call out 80 knots, V1, VR, and V2 speeds. And when we get a positive rate, then I'll get the gear up for you. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
That should be it, and I'll give the tower call.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Roger. Miami Tower, Eastern, very first Flight 1 is ready for takeoff after 20 years.
Roger, Eastern 1. Congratulations on your rebirth. We're all cheering for you, and when those wheels come off the ground,
there'll be a big round of applause. Oh, yes. You're cleared for takeoff. Wind from 090 at 10 knots.
Continues toward Puerto Rico, while the guests are entertained by Mr. Tony Bennett and the amenities found in Eastern's newest aircraft, the Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner. The cast for tonight's show include narrator Bill Joseph, Mr. Mucci, Howard Mucci. Captain 1 was Neil Holland, Captain 2, Steve Thompson. Your senior flight attendant was Margaret Bars. Senior flight attendant 2 was Jan Butch-Kaye. And Flight Attendant 3 was Luann, was Margaret Bars. Vice President Sales and Marketing was played by Jim Hart. And the Vice President of Maintenance and Engineering and Miami Tower Voices was that of Chuck Albright.
At last, one airline has done something unique for America's senior citizens.
For only $999 each, we can travel anywhere Eastern flies in the U.S. for a year. So we're going to visit our niece in Boston, our kids in L.A., and dear old mom in Florida.
If you're 65, you qualify. You can even get a passport for a companion who travels with you regardless of age. Call Eastern or your travel agent for details.
Eastern's get-up-and-go passport. It was worth waiting for.
Eastern, America's favorite way to fly.
Well, that's our show for the inaugural flight, and next week we'll be en route to San Juan. We'll have some entertainment, be talking with both mayors from Miami and San Juan, and we hope you'll tune in again. It's especially nice to talk about an airplane that I wish the new Eastern would be able to purchase, and of course, our skit is not real like some have been led to believe in the past. We've been getting some comments from our members and some of the Eastern people asking if this was really happening. And no, it's not. We hope it sounds real enough that one would be led to believe that the Eastern, yes, is back in the air, especially with the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. What an airplane that airplanes are the airliners are now using. And guys, if you really want to get a good look at that airplane, it is just phenomenal in design. And I've looked at the Airbus designs, but I still favor the Boeing aircraft. Any thoughts from any of our hosts? Don't tell me you've all left.
I think, Neil, this is Jim. I honestly seem to liken this to the time when we got rid of the DC-7s, and we started with, I think we had the DC-8s, Boeing 720s, then all of a sudden the Whisper Jet came along, and the Whisper Jet was something to behold.
Yes, it was. Matter of fact, when we got the jets, we were closest thing we had to a jet, and we should have gone right into the jets instead of favoring the Electra like we did. But the Electra was a very good utility airplane. It operated for several years on the shuttle, as you recall. But
mm-hmm.
when we transitioned over from the Electra and the old instrumentation, Steve, you remember how the
yes.
pilots fought that new type of instrumentation in the 727 when we got it?
Yes. I can tell you that from my experience, if you said to me, okay, Steve, of all your airplanes you've ever flown, you've got to pick one airplane to fly under any condition you may ever encounter, guess which airplane I would have picked?
Well,
that's the Electra.
The Electra, okay, yeah. I didn't fly it. I flew it as co-pilot, but I didn't fly it as captain, of course, and you did, I guess.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a great airplane. I think that was the airplane that we used to call a pilot's airplane.
That's correct, absolutely.
It sure wasn't a maintenance airplane.
No.
You used to love to work on, did you work, Chuck, on the Allison engines, or did you do just the basic airframe and electrical, that type of thing?
I was a line mechanic. One of the problems we were having is the fuel tanks, you know, they leaked. And so we had a lot of problems with those. Basically, it was the expansion and contraction of the metal. They just didn't have this sealed down good back in those days. But no, the engines were good. I actually got qualified on taxiing one of them. You just have to really watch them. That was a very powerful engine.
Of all the aircraft that you worked on, which was the one that you least liked as far as maintenance?
As far as maintenance, I worked on 1011s for a long time, and we had a lot of problems with the engine. The RB211 engines were the first tri-spool engines out there, and we did all the R&D on those. It really cost us a lot of money. So I would say the 1011, it was a pilot's airplane. I was fortunate enough to get to be in one on a test flight and stuff, and it really flew nice, but boy, the maintenance was horrendous. I mean, we just changed engine all the time, and finally they got the 535 engines, I think they're flying on them, and the last time I heard. So that was the hardest plane to really work maintenance on. The easiest one was probably, it'd be a throw up between the Airbus and the 727s.
I have something I'd like to discuss on the 727, Neil. I think we ordered 40 of those aircraft, and something that very few of our listeners are aware of, that we had what we call the 727 QC, meaning quick change. This was when the airplane would fly from the south to the north country, and it would be loaded with the cargo. And over the road, in semi-tractor trailers, would come along the seats. The seats would meet the airplane up north. They'd transform it from a cargo back to a passenger airplane, and it would fly passengers back down south. Are there any other, items that come to mind about the 727 QC?
Yeah, I flew it quite a bit of my flight time was in the QC aircraft, both in the cargo configuration and the passenger configuration. And it was amazing that we flew mostly in the QC configuration at night. For instance, I remember well that I would leave Atlanta and go up to Louisville, Kentucky, and then on up to Chicago. And in Louisville, they would offload the freight and put the freight on up to Chicago. Then when we got back early in the morning, just on the return trip, they would immediately, after offloading all of the freight, the cargo, it would take about 45 minutes to change the aircraft from rollers to seats. And they did a remarkable job in doing that. We occasionally had some write-ups. Steve, you probably recall. Did you fly the QCs?
Sure did. And as I remember also that that was the airplane that we had a nightly air freight QC out to, or maybe it was QC both ways to L.A.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I think it was freight both ways. I don't remember it being changed.
Yeah,
well, I had the pleasure of putting seats in and out.
You did.
He was right. It took us less than an hour to swap it out. Engineering was really on the ball when they had that designed. By the way, there was eight of those airplanes.
Eight of them. And
right.
Eastern, I think, was the first airline that ordered that type of airplane with that utility being able to switch from freight to passengers. Do you recall any airline before Eastern doing such a order from Boeing? I don't think so. I think we were the first.
I don't know anybody else who had.
Yeah. They were QC-100 aircraft. They weren't the stretch versions. So they were the 100s. And they had the QCs. Howard, did you say something? Maybe Bill Joseph was there.
I have another thing I'd like to mention, Neil. This is Jim. Mm-hmm. I remembered when I was promoted from the field ticket counter to outside sales and was calling on commercial firms. And one of the things, of course, that we would discuss would be passenger travel, but then also we would discuss cargo. And in conjunction with American Airlines, we started on a program to try to persuade large firms in the United States to get rid of their big warehouses, because we told them that we could deliver overnight anything they needed to almost every city in the United States. And do you know, this worked. I worked with American Optical Company in Southbridge, Massachusetts. They had I don't know how many warehouses. And do you know, using teletype and so on, they were able to receive orders from their various locations and fill the orders overnight, and the people would have their orders the next day. And, of course, that allowed them to get rid of a lot of warehouses and save a lot of money that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a question, Jim. What is a teletype?
Well, I'm dating myself when I mention that, right?
I bet you guys don't even remember the electronic pencil.
Electronic
they had
pencil.
It. Yeah.
Did it have any lead in it?
No, but it sure could write. You would write at one station, and it would have your handwriting at another station. And that's how they wrote some incidental write-ups and stuff in the military. That was back in the early 60s. Does anybody know if the Dreamliner has the cargo containers that like the L-1011 had?
That, I really didn't look into the cargo area too much in researching tonight's program, but that's interesting to find out just how much cargo.
I have another question. is the 777 type rating interchangeable with the 787?
From what I understand, it is, Steve. That's one of the reasons that they tried to keep the cockpit. Of course, the design of the Dreamliner cockpit, when you see it on the internet, is such a modern-looking design. And like Howard mentioned when he came on board, you know, where's Captain Kirk? And it basically looks like that. But I think the instrument panel and all of that is pretty much in keeping with the 777, and they wanted to be able to dual type rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I understand.
Neil, the reason you gave for the column was that a true story, or did they just didn't want a side stick?
No, that's a true story. Yeah, Boeing has always favored the pilot being able to fly the airplane the traditional, I call it the traditional way. You know, what's traditional now might not be the same thing. Like we used to call the conventional geared airplane a tailwheel airplane. And, of course, you know, when they put the wheel up in the nose, they call it a tricycle airplane. But, of course, the tailwheel disappeared from all airplanes, basically, except the sports aircraft today. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think Boeing has always favored that. And I don't – maybe one day they might have a side stick like Airbus. But
there is some opinions out there that the side stick has contributed to some air upsets that have resulted in some serious accidents. And I'm not, and certainly can't verify that, but I have read some opinions that it, as a matter of fact, the airplane that went down in the Atlantic out of that was coming out of Brazil to France, there was some confusion in the cockpit that was attributed, I think, to the side stick.
Yeah. Golly, I would prefer a control column like Boeing does. Without it, I guess a lot of pilots probably, when we transitioned from the propeller airplanes to the jet aircraft, they found it a little difficult to convert over to the new way of doing business in the cockpit. So I don't know. I still like Boeing's design, their aircraft, and this. Have you guys seen the wing design of the Dreamliner?
I have.
It looks like more not. Like a swift bird. I mean, it has got a bird-like wing. And very unusual. As a matter of fact, I listened to the comments of a passenger on the internet that took a trip and did the entire trip out the beautiful windows that Boeing designed on that airplane. And you can actually change the lighting to whatever suits your mood, I guess, just by changing the lighting, as we mentioned in our little skit here, for those windows. You can blacken them. There are no shades to pull down anymore. And so I think that's a unique design that Boeing came up with. But when the guy that was doing the videoing had the video outside the window looking at that wing, it was just the most beautiful, I think, part of the entire structure of the aircraft. And he made a comment. He said, "I wish we had some turbulence so I could see how the wing flexed up and down." And as you recall, you know, Boeing 777s were tested so that they could actually go from a positive G-load to a negative G-load of 67 feet. The tip would travel a distance of 67 feet of that wing. So it was very flexible. And I would imagine this airplane wing is just similar to it or more flexible.
Neil, do they say that that airplane has very little aluminum in it? It's all some sort of a composite?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
Jim, you might know, or Bill, or Chuck, you might know more about that if you've studied it.
Yeah, they did it to lighten the airplane, of course, which you get better fuel economy. Plus, you get a better load factor out of it. But yeah, most of the components, the major components, especially the flight control systems, you know, you're talking about ailerons and rudder and stuff like that, are composites. You know, most of our military aircraft are almost all the composites now.
Yeah.
And so consequently, I think in the coming future, you're going to see a plane that's totally designed of composite. They'll have the inner structures with the ribs and everything else will be composites, and it's just the coming future. It's stronger, more flexible. And just a footnote, I saw a test, and I think it was either the 57 or the 77. They took the plane and had these jacks just slowly move the wings up, and they were almost 90 degrees before they snapped.
Yeah.
And yeah. Which showed the flexibility.
Yeah.
Well,
the max takeoff weight of this airplane that we had in our skit, the Dash 8, it's the 787-8, is 503,000 pounds is the max takeoff gross weight. And then the Dash 9 is up to 523,000 pounds. So it's a pretty large airplane, but by no means the largest, because the 680. What's Airbus? 687.
820, isn't it?
Or 380? Or I forgot what it is. But it goes up to 1.2 million pounds on takeoff.
It's got two other engines.
Yeah, four engines, of course. Yeah, but. But this looks like an airplane that they have the short-range versions and the long-range versions, but an airplane that will travel 10,000-mile range. That's remarkable, too.
Just remember, our Logan's Hall is, 18 hours?
Yeah.
It's going to come in handy.
Yeah. But, I think I begin to hear the music of our closing. And Jim,
yes,
I guess,
sir,
it's about time to taxi the airplane into the hangar and, as we say, put it in the barn. So if you'll do that for us.
Certainly, Neil. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you on June 11, same time and same station, for the new Eastern Taking to the Air, Eastern's first inaugural flight, part 2. Tune in to our website, www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we've had to earn our wings every day, and we hope we are doing so here at the EAL Radio Show. We hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when Flight 69 departs the gate on June 11th. Be on board. From all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we all say good night, Eastern family. And good night to you, Luann, wherever you might be.
Good night, Jim, and everybody.